Last Monday, the 70th anniversary of the UN's endorsement of the Universal Declaration on Human Rights, the All-Party Parliamentary Group for International Freedom of Religion or Belief published a document called Commentary on the Current State of Freedom of Religion or Belief. The Conservative Pierre Elizabeth Berridge is co-chair of the group, and she told me what they wanted to achieve.
Yes, it's the first time we've done it, and it was actually at the impetus of a number of faith-based organisations who are working together, which is really encouraging. So we were encouraged to do this by humanists, Christian groups, Muslim groups, Baha'is, to put together their detailed knowledge of what's happening in various countries around the world to equip the FCO, both in London and desk officers out in post, with the details of the violations that are happening overseas.
So it is a sort of policy tool, or that's how you intend it?
Yes, very much so. And to help keep the government to account. So every year they produce an annual human rights report, and that covers all human rights, including freedom of religion or belief. So often it's a very short section of it, and often it can be quite generic. So we are wanting to provide them with the detailed information of the violations, which they say that they need, obviously, to track what's going on and see if there's progress. Often for freedom of religion or belief, a faith group speaks on behalf of the violations and the attacks and persecutions on their own faith group overseas. This is really important that they're all working together, because obviously it's a human right. So you've got Baha'is obviously concerned about the situation for Christians, you've got Muslims concerned about the situation for Buddhists. And so these groups are working together who also support the parliamentary group.
And what are the headlines that came out of that exercise?
The overall headline, unfortunately, is that still there are mass violations, that there are more countries than we could include in this commentary where there are serious violations of freedom of religion or belief. There's no one group that are persecuted that are not persecutors elsewhere. So it isn't a polar situation. The headlines for us were it's happening across lots of different continents, and unfortunately the trajectory is one of decline, not improvement.
What about Iran? Because I think that's somewhere you identify some quite important changes.
Yes, I mean, there are difficulties across the board, not just for, we hear a lot about the 500,000 Christians, who, many of whom are underground. There's increasing problems for the Baha'i community there. Their leadership is still in prison. But also what we don't hear reports about so much is the Sunni Muslim persecution that happens, because it's a Shia Muslim government there. And so there's about 140 Sunni Muslims that we are aware of who are actually in prison at the moment. So it's those kind of nuances also that often don't get covered. You very rarely have a situation where it's one group being persecuted. If you've got a persecution going on, it tends to affect a whole number of groups of people.
Let's just pick that up as an example of where you might expect your information to feed through into Foreign Office policy. What would you want them to do with regard to Iran to deal with those questions?
Well, we want them to be highlighting consistently, particularly for the leadership of the Baha'i community, the seven leaders who have been in prison now since 2008. It's, again, those classic bilateral relations, but it's also using our position at the UN to basically put pressure on Iran. There are no, unfortunately, Ed, there are no easy, quick answers, even with the UK government doing what it can in this area. And they have recently appointed a Prime Minister's special envoy only a few months ago to give profile to this issue. There are very few quick fixes.
But if we take Iran again, it's a country which is very much in the news because of the whole question of the nuclear deal that the Americans have pulled out of, and which we think should stay. Would you, for example, be saying to the Foreign Secretary you should actually be perhaps moving a bit closer to Donald Trump about this because of what's going on in terms of religious persecution?
Not directly. I think what we need to do is be raising these cases. Often behind the scenes is actually not always a cop-out. It is actually often quite effective to be raising it. There are others who are caught up in those kind of situations who we don't know the identities of. So often behind the scenes can be effective. I have concerns about, in this area, allying ourselves more and more closely to America because of the perception that there can be that this is really Christians who want to protect their own overseas. Unfortunately, that misnomer is affecting the geopolitical situation at the moment.
If you take China, you're always going to be fighting the fact that in economic terms, it's an immensely important power, and that's always going to make governments want to cozy up to it.
Well, this is the case with all of the human rights work. It's often governments are accused that you are prioritising trade over human rights. But one can, if one looks at another recent event that we saw, the murder of the journalist in Saudi Arabia, that has sent shockwaves across many commercial organisations as well. So you do actually need to have freedom of religion or belief, though, to have prosperous trade. That actually the countries where there is freedom of religion or belief tend to be more stable, tend to be more prosperous. So it is a hard balance often to know how far you can actually push a particular issue.
Baroness Berry is talking to me.